Okay, if you'll take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to read a couple of verses. Yeah, 1 Corinthians it's a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul, obviously to the church of Corinth, and Paul writes not one, but two letters to them to correct a ton of things that they had going on. There are just a ton of issues, and the most, I guess, significant issue they were dealing with was this issue of division in the church, and they were fighting with each other over all sorts of things, and they were at odds really regarding, like, who, I guess, which great apostolic father they should follow. And some people were like, hey, you know, I like Paul. He's the best, and his teaching is the best, and his style's the best. And some other people are like, well, I like Apollos, and he was the best. And some people are like, well, I like Peter, and he was awesome, and he was there on, like, the day of Pentecost, and, like, God moved through him, and the church, as we know it, was started, like, as a part of his message and ministry as he's teaching the gospel, and thousands of people are coming to Christ. It's like, he's got to be the best. And other people are actually like, hey, maybe Jesus is the best. We would agree with them. But there was division. They were fighting each other over all this stuff. And Paul, as he's writing this letter, he just so definitively states that Jesus is the foundation that we are supposed to build on by loving, living, and sharing the gospel. He says, Jesus is the guy. Jesus is the foundation. The gospel is the foundation. And then in chapter 4, he makes this profound statement. It's verse 1 and 2 about what being a servant, being a follower, being a worker for God is really all about. And I'm just going to read this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. It just says this. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that they are found faithful. And I know that, like, the immediate context of this passage is he's speaking of the role of ministers in the church, of pastors, as we would call them, of elders, of leaders in the church. And again, I understand that's the immediate context and so the immediate application, but however, the principles that he outlines are certainly applicable to the church as a whole. I think they're principles that can and should be applied to the church as a whole. And so today is Vision Sunday. We do one of these every year. And we're just kind of like, I guess, reminding ourselves a little bit today and then outlining kind of what, you know, this year, as even Mikey prayed, as maybe we would see it, may or may not look like. And I understand that I just said a lot of words that had no meaning because there was 14 disclaimers in there, maybe in this. And because it's all dependent and contingent upon what God wants to do with us. And we understand that. And I want to say that up front. But Paul says this. And so as we're walking through this, just understand that everything that Paul is saying applies to me and Mikey as your pastors. And yes, but it applies to the church as a whole. It applies to you. It applies to our church as an organization. Paul says this, the servants of God are accountable to him alone. I mean, man, I could talk about that. The servants of Christ, at the end of the day, the Bible says that all who are followers of Christ, they stand before Christ, not to be judged for their sins, but to be judged on their stewardship. Were they found faithful to him? Every one of us has an individual, not a group effort. It's not 511 Church stands as 511 Church. But there, I have an appointment when to stand before Christ as Matt Thomas. But we answer to him alone. And I say that to, you know, kind of give us a little bit of the gravity of the magnitude of that reality. However, we don't answer to anybody else. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the king. And what he says goes. And Paul is making that so clear, because what these Corinthians were doing in part is they were fighting over who they were going to submit to. The authority that we have as pastors is this book and this book alone. What God says is the authority. Our, if any authority is to be had by Mikey and myself, it is that we dispense the truths of this book to you, and we encourage you to follow it, and we at some level attempt to hold you accountable to it. But you don't answer to us. You answer to God alone. Paul says the servants of God are accountable to him alone, and the sole requirement on which the followers of God will be judged is their faithfulness to him. That's what he says. Stewards of God, stewards of the mysteries of God, and moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's what God wants. I fear that just so often we can misinterpret the idea of what a church looks like, or what a good church looks like, whatever that may mean, a successful church looks like. And we can reshape verses like this to say something like, you know, the servants of God and the churches of God must be found fruitful. We can begin to define success as Christians and define success as a church differently than how God does. God says the requirement or the criteria in which you will be judged as a church is not your fruitfulness, it's your faithfulness. Servants of God are to observe, be observed by him and found to be trustworthy. And it is so easy to get lost in the world of whether or not we are fruitful. How do you measure the value? How do you mark down on a spreadsheet an interaction where, you know, you're going through the drive-thru and you hand an invite card to somebody? The measurable is faithfulness, gospel faithfulness, to be found by God, to be trustworthy of the gospel that he has given us, and that we have been faithful to pursue his agenda and his agenda alone. There's a guy named Jonathan Lehman. He's part of the Nine Marks Church, and they do a ton of cool stuff and have a ton of cool resources. Anyway, he says this. Quote, the church is an institution which Jesus created and authorized to pronounce the gospel of the kingdom, to affirm gospel professors, to oversee their discipleship, and to expose imposters. And we kind of, as we're walking through the gospel of John, we can see all of those things play out in those different characters that we're looking at. But if I was to define what is faithfulness to God look like for our church, and really for any local church, I would say it is these three things, and you've heard them before. Our mission as a church is to love Jesus and his gospel. That is number one. It is primary. It is paramount. We are to be a people that absolutely love Jesus and love the gospel. If we don't do anything else, we have to do that. Secondly, the mission of our church is to live for Jesus and to live out his gospel. Church is not defined by four walls and an assembly on Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half. The church is the people. The ministry of the church happens by and large outside of the walls, in the community where we are living for Jesus and representing him to our community, so that, as the scripture says, they can see our good works and see the goodness that lives within us and lies within us and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. They look at us and they see him. We love Jesus and we love his gospel. We live for Jesus and we live out his gospel. And last, we share Jesus and his gospel, as we would say, with everyone, everywhere, every day. That's the mission of the church. That's the ministry of the church. It's not bigger than that. It's not more complicated than that. We can make it infinitely more complicated than those things. And we had our first service on April 30th, 2023. So almost 2 years, coming up on 2 years. And the statistics of churches that start, church plants is the term that is used, that don't make it a year, are astronomical. The statistics of churches that are planted and don't make it 3 years are even worse. We have a wonderful support system in First Baptist Melbourne. We have wonderful staff that are available and pour into us and help us. We have a wonderful resource here in this place that is easy and simple and almost free. Like, it's insane what God has done for us to give us this start to make it past some of these major milestones and thresholds of a church plant. One of the things that I'm most proud of as a church in the past couple years is this. I can't remember a week that has gone by in our church on a Sunday where the gospel has not been absolutely clearly presented. And I'm so proud of that reality that I don't think that there's been one week that has gone by in the history of our church, albeit short history, but in almost two years, that we have been faithful to teach the gospel. I'm going to say that again, because reminding ourselves of what God is looking for in our church. We have been faithful to teach the gospel in this place. That's what God wants. God can look at our church and so far determine that our church is a trustworthy church to be handed the opportunity, the treasure, the mystery of the gospel and share it faithfully. God has honored that by producing spiritual fruit. We've seen people saved. We've had people baptized. We started with like 30 people, and half of those people, like more than half of those people were kids, like under 12. We had like, a dozen, 13 adults. We average, 50 plus on a Sunday. We did this huge concert thing. There was 100 and some odd people here. God brings people to our church. He does that. Again, I don't think that's insignificant, that we can see God working. And our calendar as a church is not full in one respect, and I've said this before, like, we don't have a whole lot of things that are like, well, our church is going to do this, and our church is going to do that. It's because our church people outside of the walls are doing church every single day by sharing Jesus and having conversations and leaving that door open so that when you go to, I always use myself, when I go to baseball practice with Jackson, I'm going to baseball practice and helping coach and stuff, but I'm meeting people, I'm talking to people, I'm introducing people to our church. I'm free to do that because we don't have to be at church 5 days a week or 7 days a week. We ask for an hour and a half or so on a Sunday and about 2 hours on a Wednesday. And that's it. And our church is free to go and live for Jesus everywhere, every day, to everyone, because we're not calling it to be here every 4 seconds. And that's strategic. And I think God is going to use that. And he has. And we don't talk like a ton about money here. I don't think we ever have. It just kind of comes up organically as you're walking through some of these passages. But we have been blessed to, again, have the start that we have in this wonderful place. We have very minimal expenses. So in a couple years, we've made a decision just as a church leadership to employ the strategy of saving opposed to the strategy of spending. And so over the course of the last, year and a half, we have saved $120,000. God has given us like a really simple head start. And I just keep thinking back to that story of Joseph when he's like the second in command in the region of Egypt, and he's Pharaoh's right hand, and they have all these dreams and stuff. And he says, there's going to be lean years and fat years. And we are living in the fat years, man. And so instead of, eating all of our grain, as it were, what do? They put grain in these massive silos and saved up for 7 years. Because he's like, there's going to be 7 years of famine. If we don't do it right now, we're going to be in trouble. So I think we've done pretty well in saving and being wise. Interestingly enough, my initial conversation with CCM and the leadership and all of that, their initial plan was to give us like 12 months. I fought for 18 and then I extended it with them because I'm like, well, there's nobody else here. Can we just have it again? Their vision as a part of their ministry is actually really cool, is to use this facility for church plans like us to come in and get a really good head start, to get on our feet financially, to figure out what it is that we're doing, because we have a decent idea now, but like in the beginning, we have no idea what we're doing. You come in like, how do you start a church? We don't know. So they want to have this space usable for church plants to come in. So they have extended our lease once again to October of this year, which is awesome. And then we're done. So we get this for another, 8, 9 months now? And then we're going to have to find a place. I think that is going to be a wonderful thing for our church. I think that in many ways, we're ready for that. I think in many ways, if you just look at maybe not this room, because this room, I don't know, at our concert or whatever, we had 110 or so people in here. Like, it was pretty packed with 110. But once you take, you know, even the 50 that come, 50, 60 or whatever we have on a Sunday, and go out into that lobby, like, they ain't a room. You're not getting 100 people in here every week, and to filter in and out of the one way in and out that we have, it's not happening. And the kids' ministry, like the nursery, like, that thing is packed. And I mean, we could do like wild things on this side and section off the cafe and stuff if we had to, but like the nursery is the real issue. Like, there's no more room for anybody that is under like the age of 4 or 3. Like, it ain't now. There ain't no more room. And we only have like 50, 60 people. We are at the point as a church to where if we are to add maybe 1 or 2 more families, like, we'd have a real space problem. Not in here, everywhere else. So God has used this place and God has used our church to grow us enough to the place where it's like, okay, you know what? It's time. We got to figure something else out. What a huge, huge blessing this place has been, and the people and the equipment and the production team and the leadership. It's just awesome. But it's time. It's time for us to find a new place that will fit our needs for the future. And I remember when Brad was helping me look in the beginning to find a place, period, and we didn't have anything. And we looked at a couple high schools and all this stuff, and we're like, we don't know what to do. And we're talking to people, and then we had one high school, like, all lined up, and I came into that interest meeting. I was like, dude, God provided us this place, and it was like a little less than $3,000 or something. It was less. It was like 23 or something, I think. It was awesome. It was like way less than we thought. Like, this is going to be cool. We had the gymnasium. The entire gymnasium was ours. We had the whole cafe was ours. We had all the classrooms we wanted. It was awesome. And I came in, I was like, man, look what God did. And then, like, I got an email the week after. It was like the next day, Monday. I got an email from the guys, like, basically, not only are we not going to rent the facility out to you, the board has spoken, we're not going to rent it out to anybody ever, ever again. We're just not going to do that. And so we came back in the next interest meeting with, I don't know, we had maybe like 2 left. Like, well, the thing we thought we had, we don't have that anymore. But I said something similar to this. And how true it has turned out to be. God will never take something good from you and replace it with something worse. And look what God gave us. God will never take something good from you and replace it with something worse. Now, we have to understand his definition of what is good for us and his definition of what is good for the sake of the gospel, and his definition might be different of what is better or worse than ours might be. But we talk about it all the time. It's one of the first principles that we looked at as a church of Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, of God weaving together every single interaction, every circumstance to make us more like Christ. So whatever is next for us, God is using that. And if it is a place that has permanence or it's temporary, whether we are at the next place for a year or the next 10 years, God is using that to make us more like Jesus. And that's what we want. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. And the scripture says that he delights in giving good gifts to his children. A new place of worship is going to mean a couple things for us. It's obviously going to mean a new physical location. We won't be here. We won't be, you know, at this wonderful corner of O'Galley and I-95, where you zip up and down and you can be you know, 20 miles away and you can be here in 15 minutes. Like, it might be closer to your house. It might be farther away from your house. I don't know where it is yet. But it's going to be a new place, and there's ramifications that go with that. There's going to be a new group of people to reach, new neighborhoods, new people where we, you know, put a sign out that says, hey, 511. They've never even heard of 511 before. God can use that. There's going to be new challenges. I have no idea what they are because I don't know where we're going yet. There are going to be new challenges. But we're going to need more help. We're going to need more focus. We're going to need more involvement. There's going to be, I mean, right now I come in at like maybe a little after. I leave my house at like 8 typically, and I enjoy kind of the 15 minutes that it comes to set up all this stuff. It kind of gets my mind ready for Sunday. Like, it's probably not going to be that. That'd be awesome. But probably not. I'm just saying things might be different. There's going to be more production stuff that's going to be involved, and kids workers. And so some changes this year. I think good changes, timely changes, necessary changes, things that are going to challenge us. But I think there are going to be things that are going to be good for us. And we want to turn our community upside down for Jesus. And what I mean for that is we say it all the time, there's 85% of our population here in Brevard County doesn't know Jesus. 85%! 500 some odd thousand people. It's probably more than that now. People move in every day. There's neighborhoods popping up everywhere. Like, the need is massive. And we said it in the beginning as like, well, you know, I don't know. I drive around our, you know, community and I see churches everywhere. I was like, man, we don't need one more church. We need 1,000 more churches. And that's still not enough. There's not enough seats in every single gospel preaching auditorium today in our county to hold even close to 500,000 people. We don't need one more church. We need 1,000 more churches. Literally a church on every single corner is not enough. The need is great. But we outline this vision for our church. I just want to walk through it again. And you can see it. Like, what could happen? And this is based on adding 40 people a year. So we're at, you know, a little bit more than that, 50, maybe 55, 60 people. We have 2 life groups. That's kind of where we were. It's kind of where we are, a little more people. If 10 years, we add 40 people, you could just do the math. And we walk through all of this stuff. And I don't look at this as something that's like, hey, we're going to do this. I think it's something cool that could happen because it's so plausible for in a single generation to turn our community upside down, to have, you know, to make a decent dent. And this is just based on us. This is based on us of just what could happen. God could use us to be a church, to plant almost 30 churches. 13 churches that are reproducing themselves. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about. Thousands of people every single week. You know, 5,000 some odd people. Hearing the gospel, learning the gospel, sharing the gospel. God can use us to do that. I'm not saying that God is going to do that. But just by adding 40 people a year to our church, like something as wild as that to think about, is not only possible, but just plausible. In a single generation, our community could be turned upside down for Jesus. We still think that's God's vision for our church. We started with that in mind of being a church that is focused on multiplying and growing and not, you know, having an idea of not becoming this giant mega church. And like once we hit whatever a sustainable number is for us where we can support ourselves and support another church plant, we want to start another church. And then have them do that. And then we have 2 churches, and you see the graphics. Like, it's, you know, 2 churches turns into 4. 4 doesn't turn to 8. It turns into, like, 12. And then 12 turns into, like, 30 in just a few years. 30 years. It's not long. A generation. To have 511 churches everywhere in our county. I think it's supremely possible. We're still committed to that. But I've been thinking about this a lot. Vision Sunday and all, we are content to be used by God in the way that he deems best. If he deems it best for us to remain a small church and never start another church, I don't see that as failure at all. Because God doesn't fail. God's plans always come to pass. They're always perfect, and he never fails at anything, ever. And so just based on the passage that we read and the principles, the idea of being the servants of God, the stewards of the gospel, and the requirement of God to be found trustworthy, to be found faithful, to him and to his gospel at the end of the day. Four just quick principles I want to give you of what success looks like as a church plant. And I mentioned a few of them already. First of all, we're supposed to love Jesus and his gospel. We ought to love Jesus, our Savior, our King, our God. We ought to love the gospel. The gospel, the hopeful promise of God to redeem and restore because of what Jesus has done for us. We ought to assemble to worship Jesus and proclaim his worth with singing, with prayer, with communion, with offerings and fellowship. We are to love Jesus and his gospel. It is absolutely core to our church. It is absolutely core to a church that is going to be a gospel-believing, gospel-preaching, gospel-following church. And so it's core to us. Secondly, we are, as I mentioned, to live for Jesus and live out his gospel. And that involves, like we talked about last week, and even as Brad prayed, like part of that is loving each other, loving one another. And I was thinking about this too, like this week, man, in our just short history of not even 2 years, I mean, our church has seen a lot in the way of sadness and sickness and hardship and loss. Not in our organization, but within our people, our church. And what these moments in part have done, have given us an opportunity to love and serve one another as Jesus is demonstrating to his disciples. He says, this is how people are going to know that you're my followers, is how you treat each other, how you care for each other. God has given us opportunities to do that. And those opportunities have brought us closer together. And our church enjoys a bond. Our church enjoys a connection, a fellowship that I'm telling you guys is uncommon. We are a church family. And that's a term that is just kind of tossed out there. It is so absolutely applicable and a wonderful description of our church. Family. To care about each other and love each other and work for each other and serve for each other and sacrifice for each other. We have a wonderful gift of unity in our church. And anybody who's been in church for any length of time will know, at least to some degree, the blessing and the wonder and the amazing thing that that is, because it is hard to come by. And it's not accidental. I think in part it is just simply the providence and the blessing of God, but I think in another way that we work hard for that because our focus is so jealously and zealously singular that there's not a whole lot of room for debate on what we're going to be about. We are going to love Jesus and his gospel. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to work to live out. That's what we're going to teach on. It's on every page in the scripture. It's in every story. Everything is about Jesus all the time, and it's never about us. And we fight for that. And God is blessing our church with a unity that I am telling you guys is uncommon. And thirdly, I mentioned that success as a church or a church plant is sharing Jesus and his gospel. And we talk about, you know, our invite cards all the time. And I just want you to see what, again, could be. And I think this is really, really conservative. We use that term everyone, everywhere, every day. Just look at what could happen if just 10 people, if just 10 people, not 50 people in our church, not like just the, say, 30 or so adults, if just 10 of us, if just 10 people in our church committed to have one conversation a week, one 30-second interaction with just a little invite card. Hey, I don't know if you go to church anywhere. I go to 511 Church. There's a QR code on the back of this. If you don't go to church anywhere, we'd love to have you come to our church. Scan that QR code. It takes you to our website. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram. Like, we would love to have you visit our church. Like, there's a little video on our homepage. It tells about our church. You get to walk around. Like, I guess we're going to have to change that, aren't we, Amanda? Yes. She's like, yes. Like, Go check it out. After we're nice and kind and Jesus-y to them, of course. Like, if just 10 people had one conversation a week, 52 weeks in a year, you guys are much smarter than me, can check my math, it's 520 conversations a year. If out of those 520 conversations, 10% of the people we invited visited our church, that's 52 people visiting our church. That's nothing. 520 conversations. It's not like, well, if all those people came, that's not going to happen. If half of them came, like, I'm trying to be like super conservative here. If 10% of those people, 10 people handing out one card a week, a 30-second interaction, 520 conversations this year. If only 10%, that's 52% or 52 people coming to our church. If only out of those 52, 25% of the people who came to visit our church actually stayed and became a part of our church, we would add 13 people next year. By 10 people handing out one card a week. Like, that's, I don't even know what the, how to make that sound hard. Like, that's so easy. It's so easy. 10 people. So that's 10 people, one card a week. That's 13 new people. What if 20 of us did it? It's 26 new people. Next year, like, come and stay. And so we go from 30 to 50-ish. We go from 50 to like 70 plus. Easy. Just by 20 of us handing out one card a week. Nothing. What if we all handed out two? I didn't do that math. Like, it's nuts is the point. And that's the vision. And I'm telling you guys, it's not something like, oh man, like, Matt, we've been doing this for like 2 years and, you know, there's 50 of us and like, we're never going to start a church. And if God doesn't want us to do that, fine. But I'm just saying, look at the possibility with just minimal effort. Like, what can be done? I'm going to challenge this year that every person hands out one card a week. Every single person in our church can do that. One card a week, not even two. You want to do two? Knock yourself out. Be an overachiever? Fantastic. Just one. Grab a handful of them. I keep a couple in my wallet. I've got like a stack in my car. Like, everywhere I go, I have something. And then you plan, like, okay, I'm going to go to lunch today. And there's going to be somebody who's serving. And I'm going to have a conversation. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to tip decent. And then at some point during the conversation, whether it's during or at the end or whatever, I'm going to say something and listen for an opportunity. Even if there's no opportunity, I'm going to walk up to him and find him at the end and say, hey, I don't know if you go to church anywhere, but I go to 511. And I get to say, I'm actually one of the pastors there. There's a little QR code in the back of this. Scan this. We would love to have you come to our church. And out of all the times I've done that, I haven't had one person get like upset. They're like, hey, cool. Like, they're so great. Like, hey, thank you. Like, I've had people tell me that nobody's ever invited them to church before. I think every person should commit. And I'm asking you guys to commit to hand out one card a week. One 30-second conversation. So if you don't actually hand out the card, it still counts. And we're not tracking it. We're not going to have like some spreadsheet where you have to like check in. Like, well, Pastor Matt, I didn't do it. Don't hate me. A 30-second conversation where you invite them to come and be a part of our church. Easy. I'm going to ask us all to do that. Second thing I'm going to ask you guys, Vision Sunday after all. I want us to have daily prayer alarms at 3:21 p.m. and 5:11 p.m. I do this every weekday. I have an alarm that goes on my phone at 3:21, 3:21. That's our area code. And it just, even if it's just a 5-second prayer, because I'm at work 99% of the time on the weekday at 3:21, and I'm there, and it goes boom, 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 and I'm like, okay, I'm doing something, and it's just this reminder that, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ, and I've been entrusted with the gospel and Jesus, and to represent him and share him, and yeah, like, our community is in need of that. If it's a 5-second prayer, God, I pray for our community. Man, they need the gospel. And that's it. But it just keeps it on our mind every day. It just keeps it on our minds that there's a community in need. And that being on our mind every day is going to help us when we go out from our places or our houses or whatever it is. And we go out to say, hey, I just prayed for our, you know, community about an hour and a half ago. And I'm going to dinner at 5. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody. I'm going to have an opportunity. And then an alarm at 5:11. I do it every day. Just pray for our church. It could be a 5-second prayer. God, man, you've been good to our church. Use us to be the light of the gospel in our community. Such an easy thing, such a simple ask. The point is to keep our community and our church, and really it's this, our dependence on God, for him to use us to shine the light of gospel into our communities. And I'm going to say this. You've been warned, okay? Like, if you're around somebody that you know goes to our church, and if they weren't here, they can listen to it online. So, ha, there's no excuse. Like, if you're around somebody and it's, like, on a weekday, and it's 3:21, and you don't hear their alarm going off, I want you to call them out. What the heck, man? Where's your alarm? If it's 5:11 and you're at somebody's house or whatever, and it's on a weekday, I'm doing it on the weekdays. And, like, if you're around somebody, call them out. I'm going to. I promise you. If you're around me and it's 3:21 and you go to our church and you don't have an alarm go off, what the heck, man? Maybe that'll be my phrase of this year, 2025. Such an easy thing. I love this, like, little alarm thing. I have alarms that go off, like, half the day. I have an alarm at 12 o'clock. It's not, like, tied to anything, but it's just to pray for my family. I pray for my wife. I pray for my two kids every day. I have an alarm at 2:16 every day. Pray for Abby. Been doing that since her cancer started. Such an easy thing. I have other alarms that pray for different people and just whoever God puts on my mind. I'm like, okay, we'll just pray for them. And then it's easy. It takes 4 seconds out of your life. Little things. 5:11 shirts. We have t-shirts. Wear your t-shirt. Hey, I have a t-shirt. 5:11. No t-shirt. I'll get you one. I have a whole box. Like, my garage is 5:11 storage unit. We have little bracelets back there. Wear a bracelet. It's just an opportunity. Somebody has it. Somebody asks you about it. Oh, 5:11 church. Or they see the other side. Every person, everywhere, every day. What does that say? Oh, I'd love to talk to you about that. We have, like, cool car decals. Put them on your car. I don't know. I mean, I've never anybody asked me about the little thing that says 5:11 church in my car. But maybe somebody sees it. I don't know. I'm just going to have Mikey come and pray for our church. I think that, I mean, if we're going to do one thing as, like, a vision day, or if we had to go away with one takeaway beyond, you know, just the supremacy of the gospel and the supremacy of Jesus, is our, I mean, desperate just doesn't even seem to begin to describe the level of our need for him every day. And if we are to be found trustworthy as a church that has been entrusted with the gospel, we need his help for that. We need his help every single second of every day. If we are to accomplish anything, if we are to have the courage that it is going to take to hand somebody an invite card and actually talk to another human being, like, in person, like, it's a weird thing nowadays, right? We need God's help for that. We got to find a place to worship. We need God's help for that. Fortunately, God loves us. God delights to give good gifts to his kids. So Mikey's going to come pray and just spend a second praying for our church and our year and asking that God would do something special in the life history of our church. So Mikey's going to come pray.